Hello, darlings. It's Thursday. It is a Master Number 11 day, and I am so excited to be here with you. I'm feeling very grounded and very present, and that is absolutely my invitation for you, especially as the eclipse wormhole is about to open, darlings. There is a lot of suffering going on. There is a lot of sadness and heartache. And today is the day of pink tourmaline, which is the gift of love. So I just want to say love, you know, love is always the answer. Every question you have, the answer is love. And maybe you're needing some love. Oh, we all know the world's needing some love. Mama Earth's needing some love. And pink tourmaline is butterfly medicine, and it is the gift of love. So I hope that you receive some love today. I hope that this is a loving embrace to your heart, as I want to, you know, acknowledge you and see you and tell you you are loved, you are worthy, you are whole. And something that's been really coming up lately in classes and sessions and all the things that has been going on is acceptance. Something that I really feel like not a lot of humans are good at, because true acceptance of where you are in this moment, can be really liberating and really freeing, because there's so much striving to achieve or to force or to push or to make yourself be something or somewhere other than exactly where you are right now. And this can be, you know, your mental health, your spiritual health, your physical health, whatever it is. You are alive, and to be present in that reality and to be so grateful and not that very, you know, surface gratitude that, you know, is flung around the spiritual community, but deep gratitude that can bring you to your knees, that can humble you, crumble you. I mean, this is the humility and the gratitude that we face in reality, the brutal, brutal reality, which also, in a paradox, is beautiful, because reality is also beautiful as much as it is brutal, because life is brutal and life is beautiful. You know, it's the paradox that we live because we are humans. So if you can find deep gratitude and be really present and in an accepting space of where you are, wherever that is, even if it's not where you want to be, the acceptance and the willingness to accept helps you to move forward. Resistance is futile right now. And what I'm seeing is a whole lot of people trying to control things, even trying to control things through spiritual means, thinking that by doing all of the spiritual things that, you know, it just doesn't work like that. Surrender and release and letting go of control is paramount. And these are the times that show you how far you've come. Yeah? The 2020s in general, which I've been speaking about since about 2018, prepping people for 2020 through to 2029. Yeah? The 2020s are exponential. Now, these times reflect back to you the work that you've done. So you may wish to sit with that. You know, we have to sit in our own uncomfortability, because we are on some level being reckoned, and everyone's going through something different, because again, like what's happening in your own astrological chart, you know, that those hits from whatever planets, especially the outer planets, obviously the eclipses that are coming up, like, you know, these transits that we are having in this decade are exponential. You know, when we think about Pluto, who can stay in a sign for 15, 20, 25, like he stays in signs for a very long time. You know, Neptune stays in signs for a very long time. Uranus is every, like, changes signs every 7 years. But we've got Pluto, you know, finally going to move into Aquarius next year. I mean, we're still not there yet. There's still a journey to be had. But this year is really shaking everything up on that journey. Hello, 2023, Collective Seven. This was never going to be, you know, and not, I don't want to say, like, nothing's bad or good, nothing's hard or, you know, easy. It just is. And the acceptance of it being exactly what it is helps you to flow, helps you to stay in alignment with the energies. Like, that's just what it does. And trust me, it's my reality. Like, it's how I've lived my life for a very long time. So I can fucking vouch for it. You know, like, this is about, I would never ever speak into something that I haven't experienced, I don't embody, or I don't actually practice. It's very easy. You know, this is why we see fundamentally so much wrong with this industry, because a lot of these quote unquote coaches or spiritual manifest mentors, all the words that they want to say, they're not actually living that. They're telling you, they're saying the right things. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty over lip service. You know, I'm over knowing personally what's going on and then seeing on Instagram or Facebook the projection and what you want to see. And that is why you're not successful. Because if you are something else behind the camera, behind the words that you speak on Instagram, for your business, whatever this is, if that is not actually who you are, the universe is a secret super spy. You can lie to yourself all you want and you can lie to everyone else. Well, you know, you can't lie to people who can see through bullshit, but you can lie to as many people as you think. But it really comes down to you and the divine. So when you are saying all the lip service, saying, oh, this is how I really feel about something, but this is what I'm going to display online, that, you know, that is very incongruent to the universe is watching. The universe is giving you exactly what you are, not exactly what you want. Not, you know, and yes, it's giving you what you need. And this is the fundamentals of the law of attraction. It's not about getting what you want. It's getting what you are. What are you vibrating to? And that's why sometimes the acceptance of where you are, like I said, it might not be, you might want to strive, you know, you might want to lose weight or, you know, build your business or be more in love or receive love or whatever that is. But the acceptance is a big part of the process. And it's a big part of the journey is the acceptance. And so that's just been coming up quite a lot in so much of what I've been doing. So I just wanted to speak into that because, as I was saying, with this gift of love and pink tourmaline, it's a master number 11 day. You know, I'm feeling super anchored in and super grounded to this. Like, I'm loving this energy, and I may be the 1%. You know, I know there are a lot of people struggling. There is a lot of sadness. There is a lot of grief. But I'm talking energetically in my own life. I am in such a state of flow and bliss, and I am so present with life and devoted. And I've gone into vigil not only for myself, which is what I'm inviting everyone to do, especially over this eclipse season, but in vigil for humanity, in vigil for the world, in vigil for humans, in vigil for Mama, the great Mama. The great Mama Earth, right? So there's this deep, deep thread, this deep prayer, this deep heart opening that is going on for all of us. And when we anchor in, because these energies are, you know, we are in eclipse season, but we're not even in the eclipse wormhole, darlings. Like, this doesn't even open until the 15th. Okay. So we come the 15th, it's on. Like, it is on. Like, This is where the moon will be her solar eclipse. It's the new moon solar eclipse, which is what a solar eclipse always is. It's always a dark moon, new moon. And then the moon will build. And it is building to that full moon eclipse, which I will talk about in a couple of weeks. I do want to prep you for this solar eclipse, but I'm just speaking into the general energetics of what's going on. So right now we have entered eclipse season. Yes. After that Aries full moon, absolutely, we have entered eclipse season, but not the eclipse portal. And when we enter the eclipse portal, we're starting with the solar eclipse. So that means that the moon then waxes, builds in intensity. So it's already feeling intense. I mean, globally, absolutely, hands down. But even for so many in their own personal lives. You know, it has been a year of stop, start, you know, pivot, move, shift, chaos. It's been a, you know, just when you think you've got your shit together, something comes up and you're sort of like, oh, okay, now I'm back to square one. And I thought I was in this really great routine. And, you know, I want to have discipline, but I can't be fucked. You know, like there's a lot going on. There's a lot where you just want to like fucking get through the fucking day. And you know what? For the rest of the year, if that's all you do, that's okay. You are enough. Can you accept that? Why do you need more? And people are just constantly wanting more, more, more. I need more money, more status, more this, more this, more this. Everything's more. And that is where acceptance is lost. And so when we drop into the arms of the universe and into grace and allow grace to hold us and to support us and to catch us, we are in a space of surrender. We are in a space of deep, deep, deep trust. And with trust is love. And as I've said for decades, you cannot live in trust and fear simultaneously. They do not work together. It's actually impossible. I mean, the word impossible says I'm possible, but like you can't be in a state of fear, reaction, defend, constantly be tr being triggered by every outside thing that happens. That's not flow, and that's not trust, and that's not surrender. That's control and fear, and all other emotions stem. If we just drew, just it's just you know maybe do this. Go and draw two circles. One, write the word fear. One, write the word love. And off those circles, or in those circles, or however you want to do that, what are all of the emotions that maybe you're experiencing, you have experienced, all the emotions, feelings, or states of consciousness that surround those two words? And then maybe circle the ones that you are the most and see where you're see where you are, see what side you are on. And this is eclipse stuff 101 even. I'm just sort of getting into, really around this eclipse energy. But I really wanted to just very, gently at 11 minutes in, speak about, this heightened master number day today on the 12th of October. So we're here on the 12th of October. It's an 11 day. It's the day of pink tourmaline. So if it's your birthday, pink tourmaline is your birthday crystal. Happy birthday. Happy solar return. The butterfly is the totem animal. She is the gift of love. As soon as anyone sees a butterfly, you nearly drop to your knees, especially if she comes close to you. The butterfly is the gift of love. So that's why I was extending that. You are loved. You deserve to be here. People love you. People want you. You're not alone. And when you are, you're still not. And no matter what you're doing, what you're achieving, what you're not achieving, you are of value, you are of worth. Okay? And I love you because I love humans as much as humans, and I don't love humans, I love humans as well. And so the invitation is to, like I said, go into that vigil for yourself, for humanity, for the earth. What's dying within your life? Maybe it's parts of your soul, old traumas, old wounds, maybe it's habits, it's relationships, it's career, it's ambitions that you wanted but now you realize you don't want. What I'm seeing so collectively is so many moving away from really what's not aligned to them and moving into something maybe simpler, maybe clearer, maybe more seamless and effortless. Because what's meant for you will always be for you. And so we're seeing the great crumbling of maybe what people have been trying to achieve. And that word trying, it just doesn't exist. It doesn't. If you're always trying to do something, guess what you're always trying to do? Trying. That word is restrictive and limiting. I remember in my 20s when I was sitting in a 6-week workshop, like that was all just about like get to, spiritual workshop 101, 6 weeks. I would travel, an hour to get there every Tuesday night for 6 weeks. And my beautiful Capricorn teacher, he spoke into the word trying then. I think I was maybe 20, like 19 or 20 or something, maybe 20 or maybe 21. I was young. And I was the youngest in the class because at any spiritual event in my 20s, I was always the youngest, especially early 20s. But he pointed that out around the word trying, and I'm like, yes, So it's been out of my vocabulary and since then. And And because if we're trying to be happy, if we're trying to achieve, if we're trying to lose weight, if we're trying to find a partner, guess what the energy of that is? Trying. And ultimately, if we're trying to let go of something, we won't be letting go of something. And even when I read Louise Hay's book from cover to cover, within 24 hours, I actually stayed up overnight reading it because I couldn't put it down. It was a big part of the dropping in and landing when I was 18 of of who I am and what I'm here to do. Her words were willing, and that is a big shift. Think about the word trying and think about the word willing, and straight away you feel the difference. Trying is resisting. Trying is pushing or forcing. It's not flowing. Willing is, I'm here, I'm accepting. I'm willing to make these changes. I'm willing to let go. I'm willing to heal. But trying to heal, trying to be happy, if you're always trying, you'll always be trying. And I know many people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, they're still trying to do the things because they've constantly been trying. This is where words are power. This is where the mind is. The mind can heal anything, and it can if that's your journey. I don't umbrella that because some people can heal cancer with their mind and with certain things. Other people cannot. And there's no right or wrong within that. It's a very personal, sacred agreement that you yourself had with your soul in this lifetime. So, and I love that quote, whether you say you can or you can't, you're right. And that's the thing. If you feel like you can't do something, you're right. If you feel like you can, you're right, So this invitation is to hold that vigil for yourself around what is dying, what is falling away in your life, what no longer serves you, but on a very powerful level, darlings, because like I was sharing in my Eclipse Masterclass a couple of nights ago, and I've shared here a million times, it's, same shit, different moon every single month. You watch people calling in the same shit every month with the new moon and trying to release the same, there's the word, trying to release the same shit every full moon. Nothing changes. What you're not changing, you're choosing. You're choosing to keep doing those things. We all have the Achilles heel. We all have the little thorn in the side that we still must continue to navigate. And so this is around this energy is really, really, it is, it's potent, it's visceral, it's shaking the fuck out of the world, the earth, and people's lives. But like I said, it will also show you the work that you have done. I am in a very calm space, but and a very peaceful space and a very grounded space, and it's beautiful, but I don't have expectations. I know that eclipses will change things, and whatever this eclipse is bringing me is for my highest good, and I surrender in eclipse season. When I see people trying to control, oh, but the eclipse is going to work for me. Oh, this is the eclipse that will do it. You've missed the point. You've missed the point. If you can't see what's next, if things feel a little bit blurry right now, that's the point. That's what an eclipse is. Even Joel was saying it last night. He's like, isn't that what the actual purpose of the eclipse is? I said, yes, it is, darling. And we were talking about how back in the day, like this is just, conversation around around our dinner table. We have many conversations, but this was one of them last night. And back in, hundreds, thousands of years ago, they would go out and see the eclipses, the moon, the blood moon on a lunar eclipse, and then the sun being blocked out on a solar eclipse, the ring of fire. It's the middle of the day and then it's pitch black. They thought they were being punished, they were scared, there was fear. But what this is the letting go that, we live on the earth. I trust the earth cycles. I trust the stars. I trust the bird song. I trust the trees and the streams and the water and the stones, more than I trust humans. And I think that that's just, I mean, I've always lived like that. That might sound harsh, but I do. I trust in that much more than I trust in humans. And this is the point of an eclipse. We cannot control the outcome. And if things feel mysterious or you can't see a way out of a situation, a solution, like something's just there. That's the mystery of the eclipses. And let me tell you, the eclipse will do exactly what it needs to do in your life coming up. And again, there is nothing to fear. There is everything to watch. Again, if you're in fear, check back to that checklist. Why? Why are you in fear? What are you really scared of? So, writing out the fear and the love will help you to identify what emotional consciousness and what state that you are living in. And remember, our consciousness is constantly rippling out. So are you contributing to the collective consciousness, or are you contaminating? And I'm telling you now, fear and anything that goes with fear is contamination. And we have to own wherever that is in our lives and what part we are playing. Yeah. So the thing here is that eclipses obscure light. They are obscuring, they are hiding something. So whatever you don't know now, you are not meant to know. But that is the problem with humans, is they can't give that up. They want control, they want to know, they want to push, and they want to force. My tips, especially around this eclipse season, because this one is, as you know, I've called the upside down. It's like Stranger Things, we're in the upside down, because the solar eclipse, which is a new moon eclipse, is hitting the south node very, very closely. The south node is karma, extracting old, outmoded, entrenched beliefs, entrenched traumas, entrenched everything. It is wiping the slate clean. And it will be, of course, in that Libra house, wherever 21 degrees of Libra is for you. I'm going to talk a little bit about the deacon of that with the tarot card, because it's quite amazing. I'm just going to have a little bit of a drink because I've been speaking for 20 minutes. So of course, something that I was listening to on the astrology podcast, Austin was talking about this deacon, the third deacon of Libra, which is Libra 3, that it's like someone's spinning lots of plates, and you can't keep spinning them. You've got to put something down. You've got to rest. You've got to not force and not keep trying to hold everything together. Maybe this is a big 2 weeks in this wormhole of surrender for you, and feeling what it feels like to surrender, or feeling what it feels like to give up control, to let go of what you're holding on so tightly. And that can be keeping up appearances, lip service. I'm going to say it fucking time and time again because it's everywhere at the moment. This lip service, the saying, all the things that people want to hear, but behind the scenes, that's not the reality. Are you trying to, what are you trying to keep up? What are you trying to balance? Hello, we're talking about Libra. What are you trying to balance? Maybe you're trying to balance too many things. Something will fall and something will smash. So instead, put it down. It either smashes and breaks down, or you choose to put it down. You have the awareness to go, hey, actually, I'm holding too much right now. I'm holding too much. And interestingly enough, the tarot card for this deacon of Libra 3 is the Four of Swords, which, if you know the tarot card, it is, the man laying in what looks like a, like it's like a coffin, but it's not a coffin, but he's laying. Yeah. He's got, I think it's a sword underneath him and three swords up on the wall. He's got the beautiful stained glass window. And the real message of the Four of Swords is this inertia, is this retreat. And in this eclipse season, I mean, I've said this for 2023. 2023 is the year of shh. Less lip service and more inner discernment and inner contemplation and introspection, reflection. And these eclipses really mirror that, because these two eclipses, the solar, which is the new moon, and the lunar, which is the full moon, are both beckoning for release. They're both beckoning for complete karmic slates being cleared. Because the lunar eclipse is clearing the full 18-month cycle of the Taurus and Scorpio eclipses that we've just been through for the past 18 months. So that's a full clearing. Like that's a really karmic, like that's the dragon's mouth closing. That is like a full closing off. That is like in Stranger Things when the portal gets closed, when the gateway gets closed. And that one, that particular one, just think about it. We're in this quantum reality. There's many different gateways and portals. And that one won't be open again for 10 years. Okay, so we're really closing that down. Will it open again? It absolutely will. Every single one will open again. If you want to look at, we've got six in front of us, six ecliptic gateways and portals, and they will all open every 10-ish years, 9 to 10 years. With the axis of Scorpio Taurus, Taurus Scorpio, next time this one opens, the North Node will be in Scorpio and the South Node will be in Taurus, and we will reopen and re-enter that gateway. But with this lunar eclipse on the 29th of October, we are closing that out for nearly 10 years. And then the solar eclipse that we're having on the 15th is absolutely one of also surrendering and clearing out, finding balance, putting things down that are too much. It's like the weight of the world, the weight of what you are carrying, it's too heavy. You can put it down now. Yeah. And then the Four of Swords is, of course, absolutely perfect because so much is. And look, if you want full rad over 2 hours of details of these eclipses and to prep you, my replay for my eclipse class is on my website and it's freaking $35 and it's over 2 hours. And it, we channel a clear quartz for the time at the beginning of the call. I give dates between the 15th and the 29th that you want to be privy to all around the luminaries and what's going on with them. So you know particular dates within the eclipse portal and that wormhole that you want to be privy to. Plus so much more, telling you where both of them happen in your chart based on your rising sign, like just all the things. It's 2 hours. I'm not going into that much depth here. I mean, I am. I'm still fucking sharing a shitload, but the 2 hour masterclass is on my website to give you the preview. And you've still got a couple of days if you really want to be set up for the 15th. It's only the 12th. Head on in and buy it. I think I've got like nearly 80 people in there, and yeah, it was just a really incredibly powerful call. So I hope that you love it. So the Four of Swords is associated with this solar eclipse that we're having on the 15th. And this again is around the invitation. So it just works perfectly because it's saying, don't force. You see the man, he's laying in stillness. This is about gnosis. This is about the knowledge of mysteries. This is a spiritual upgrade. But where do we find all of that? In silence. The word silence, the same letters in silence are in the same letters as listen. Listen and silence. Silence and listen. Same, same, same. And that is because we have to be silent to listen, and to listen, we have to be silent. So this eclipse, these eclipses are very much the invitation of shh. No forcing, no controlling, no pushing, no ritual, no manifesting. You don't do that on eclipses. When you know better, you do better. And for so-called astrologers who are still out there doing these things, when you know better, you do better. You know that eclipses are karmic. They're fated and you're trying to control them and you're teaching people to control them. I mean, it blows my mind. It blows my mind that it's still being done. There is no, eclipses are to be respected. There is a level of humility. You give up control. You give up trying to push and force things in eclipses. Eclipses are the teachers. Them themselves are the rituals. And if you can't step back from some sort of ritual over eclipses, you've got to ask yourself why. Why do you need control? And who are you listening to? Who is your teacher? Because if these are karmic and fated and something's hidden, what exactly is it that you're doing? Right? So, and again, like I'm not the fucking queen of the world, but you go and follow any reputable astrologer. It's all coming out more so now. I mean, I've been speaking into it for a long time and I get backlash from it because again, do what the fuck you want. Like I'm not the prime minister of eclipses. But I have a lot of humility and reverence for eclipses. And so, but now I'm seeing so many more very reputable astrologers come out and also say, the stuff that I've been saying for a long time. And that's okay. Like, it doesn't matter. I've got my moon in my 10th house. I often say things many years before other people will say them. That's just my life. I'm used to it now. You know, things that I say and have the courage to say 8 years ago, no one was saying, and now it's in and it's popular to say those things. Not eclipses, not just the eclipse stuff, because that's not about being popular. That's about when you know better, you do better. And when you work with eclipses, you understand that you're not working with eclipses, they are working you. And when you surrender that control and not go, oh, but the eclipse is, well, you know, it's in my favor. Really, is it? It's doing exactly what it is meant to do. And I think that it's just because of my deep respect is that I get like a little bit, you know, matriarchy, hello, moon in the 10th house in Cancer, square Pluto, come on, you know, like it's a journey, it's a journey. But yes, so this is the time of hush. And I love that, you know, this is the Deacon three of Libra. Yeah, 21 degrees, Deacon three of Libra. And the Four of Swords is again solidifying the silence, solidifying rest, restore, removing yourself from outside life. Removing yourself from all of the external white noise. When you see him, he's laying it, it's like in a church, really, you know, he's laying in a church on the in the Rider-Waite tarot deck. He's laying, he's by himself, he's quiet, but in the, you know, there is the beautiful image in the stained glass window of sovereignty. It's about stillness. It is about listening, and that's what the eclipses call us to do. It's out of time sort of energy, you know, it's time out of time, dream state. It's suspended, you know, it's that suspension between the inhale and the exhale. That's where we go in eclipses. So from the 15th to the 29th, that's the eclipse wormhole. That is the eclipse portal. And there are some pretty epic things that are going on in that 2 weeks. So, you know, it's most of realistically, October is all eclipse season. And that's why it feels big, darling. So please be really tender with yourself. Be really gentle. If you just want to go for gentle walks, do gentle walks. If you're, you know, trying to nourish the body, lots of water, like 3 liters of water a day. Feet on the earth, watch the horizon, reset your nervous system, gentle stretching. If you're feeling a lot of energy pulsating through your body, maybe you need something a little stronger, you know, strong yoga, go for a run, lift weights, loud heavy metal music. And it's so weird, if you've got my cosmic calendar, there was a day that has just gone where I because we've had Mars square Pluto, which has also really amplified the violence. Hello, we just have to look at the world. Mars square Pluto, or Mars and Pluto on any, you know, especially in a square opposition or a conjunction, is violence, is war, is outrage, is volcanic, is bombs, is it's incredible. But within us, maybe over the weekend and earlier this week, you know, and it's still happening now because Mars today moves into Scorpio. I mean, I'm not even really talking about the transits by just prepping you for the eclipse, to be honest. But today, Mars moves into Scorpio, you know, more Pluto. I mean, if you read my 2023 kit, I talked about like this is a, we're in Scorpio season before Scorpio season. Pluto, ruler of Scorpio, stationed direct yesterday on the 11th, Mars. Who, you know, is moving into Scorpio today. And this gives such courage and tenacity to go deep into the underworld. And it's a really big time. Plus we're in eclipse season, you know, plus then we've got Scorpio season. I mean, it's a very big couple of months, darlings. Okay. We've got the death moon in November, of course. Death moon, aka new moon in Scorpio. I'm just drinking. I should have warned you. So interestingly enough, you know, we're in this suspension from the 15th to the 29th, and the moon then builds to full. And we know a waxing moon, you know, a waning moon is the purge, is the release. which is what we're in right now. So from the full moon in Aries, which was quite dynamic, we have been purging, releasing, letting go. But it's the purge of all purges with this eclipse season. Like I said, a south node new moon eclipse, and then a lunar eclipse to close out in Taurus, to close out that portal and that gateway of the Scorpio and Taurus axis completely. So it's all about endings. But in general, eclipses are always about endings, new beginnings, you know, what's hidden, what are you hiding from yourself? Chaos, upheaval, awakening, you know, being shaken up. Just when you think everything's, you've got, you know, just when you think everything's like, oh yeah, this is sweet, and then spanner in the works, you know, stick in the wheel, and you come off your bike, you know. And if you try and fight it and resist it, it's futile. Like, resistance is futile right now. It's not just face the truth or the truth will destroy you. It's face the truth or you will die, you know. And I'm not saying that out of, you know, disrespect. It's just, it's like there is like, and I'm talking metaphorical death. Like, what needs to die? What needs to be released in your life? You know it. And so this is where eclipses, when they're obscured and they're hiding something, it's like, what are you hiding from yourself? And like I said, if you can't see everything yet, that's okay. That's a part of the eclipse. You don't need to know. And can you give up the need to know? So I just think that the bloody, you know, that the Deacon Three of Four of Swords is just so prevalent and on point for the energy of this solar eclipse on the 15th here in Brisbane, Australia. You'll you know, go to your local time zone. It's early hours of the morning, 3 something a.m. I don't have it written down, but so pretty much the whole of the 15th, especially for us here in Australia, we are going to be experiencing that eclipse energy. Okay, so I think maybe if you like, maybe in the northern hemisphere, you will. I mean, I think that they actually get to see it in certain parts, which is incredible. But then they're going to go to bed, right? So then they can sleep. So sometimes when we sleep through big lunation transits or something, or conjunctions or something, it can be nice. But for us here in Australia, there is no sleeping. We are going to wake, and it would have happened. But the thing is that then the moon proceeds to, because so the signatures and the aspects of this eclipse itself are pretty huge, because the sun and the moon itself is the apex of a yod, a finger of God. And yods hold up mirrors. Yods are about experiencing union with our higher self. It's about spiritual progress. And I'm not going to go into all the ins and outs of yods. Yods are a really, you know, potent aspect. You might have one natally, but if you're not actually utilizing it, it's quite challenging, you know. And either way, there's adjustments that need to be made in a yod. But what ultimately, you know, it's also called the finger of God. It's all about fate, right? So what ultimately is happening in the sky as the eclipse happens, the solar eclipse, is that we are being pointed with the base of Neptune and Pluto. We are being pointed. Actually, it's not Neptune and Pluto. It's Neptune. It's Uranus and Neptune. Sorry. With Uranus and Neptune, they are both pointing towards the solar eclipse. So they're pointing towards karma. They're pointing towards what needs releasing. They're pointing towards, you know, anything that's embedded and entrenched in our own psyche that needs to be removed. Because remember, a solar eclipse is also a dark moon. It's the ring of fire. We're not seeing anything because it's a dark moon. You know, the moon and the sun are conjunct exactly at 21 degrees. So we've got Uranus, planet of instability, chaos, which I always refer to Uranus as like eclipse season. In general, eclipses are like Uranus, Uranus are like eclipses, and then Neptune, planet of illusion, delusion, but also spiritual growth, also union with the divine. And those two planets are pointing, which is the finger of God, to the release point and the apex point and the axis of the yod, which happens to be the motherfucking solar eclipse. You cannot make this shit up. This is wild. This is huge. This is important. So we've got that going on. That's a part of the signature. And then as the day goes on, the moon, of course, moves away from the sun. She will begin to wax and move away, and then she will become new. We'll see that crescent. If you can get out and see that first sliver, that will be very, very powerful. But she moves then, and then by 3 p.m., so 12 hours later, she's exactly square Pluto. Okay, so this is, and Pluto has been squaring the nodes, which he still is, as a signature of 2023. And this is bringing us to this sort of crossroads, these dark, dark tests, taking people into their own edges, their own darkness. And are you afraid of the dark? And I think that that's a really good question, because darkness has been perceived as bad in society and light as good. But actually, there is nothing without darkness. Nothing. Darkness is just as powerful and light-filled as light is just as destructive and traumatic as dark can be. So we need them both. And if you would put dark in fear, then, it's about you meeting your own darkness. It's about you then facing, meeting the darkness and getting out of those self-perpetuating beliefs or stories or, whatever that is, those loops, those karmic loops that you just can't crack. And what I'm saying is that these eclipses are giving us the opportunity, but it's up to you to do the work. Like I've said, when you've done the work, because it will be reflected in the way you react and respond to situations like this, the way that you react and respond to such intense energies. What work have you been doing? Because it will be showing up in these intense energies. Are you a victim? Are you, are you, do you feel a victim to your circumstances? Because playing the victim doesn't work either. Yeah. And so with Pluto squaring the nodes, it's actually through Pluto that we will attain the nodal success. The North Node in Aries urges us to cut Mars, swords, swords. The word swords has the word words in it. Words, we know, cut. Words can a black magic or white magic, right? Words can harm or heal. Thank you, Don Miguel Ruiz, right? So the thing is that through Pluto, through the evolution and the transformation of Pluto, which means we've got to go into the underworld, then we're making this sort of crossroads choice. Are we still staying stuck in that Libra South node? And maybe this eclipse will bring up a lot of stuff for you. It's going to bubble to the surface, maybe things that you thought you'd let go of, relationship stuff, money stuff, desires, sex, relationship responsibilities, marriage, intimacy, balance, fairness. And then the North Node with the ushering in the change. So there is a lot of, shake up going to the on with the psychological conditioning that we have, whether it's ancestry, DNA, family, historical, environment, whatever it is. And as I, one of my favorite lines from the movie The Departed, that I put in my 2024 Energy Survival Kit actually was, are you a product of your environment or is your environment a product of you? I think it's like the first one of the first lines that Jack Nicholson says. And look, it's a pretty, full on movie. It's not like, oh, this is a lovely movie of just rainbows and butterflies. I mean, I have an eighth house stellium, darlings, and I have Pluto in my first house. The darkness does not scare me, so it's a very heavy movie, so it's not one that I'd go out and watch it today, it'll make you feel good, but that line in it was the magic for me, because I know that my environment is a product of me, God damn it, and it has been for a long time. I am not a product of my environment, and I'm really happy about that, and I'm really happy I learned that very early, leaving home, running away from home at 15, even very, very young, I knew that I wasn't a product of my environment. Oh, on some level, I was, of course. I was still impressionable. I was still a child, and I still took on a few things that my parents, things that I didn't like. But even then, I was questioning it. I'm like, this isn't right. Like, this isn't how you should live. Like, this isn't how I want to do life. So straight away, their beliefs never really landed. Was there, residue and me definitely, uneducated with some of my parents' views, absolutely. But luckily, my parents weren't into politics, which I'm so fucking glad. We never, ever, ever watched the news. I mean, I've got a lot to thank for my parents for not being caught up in that stuff. You know, we never, ever had the news on. No, nothing, ever. We had The Simpsons on, and that might be worse, but it's not, because apparently now fucking the world is The Simpsons. You know, it's predicted everything that's happened so far. So you can't make that shit up. But the thing is that, you know, when you become, when you're, when you are not the product of in your environment, and your environment is the product of you, you know, you will know. You will know. And it's an amazing place to live. So I don't know why I sort of got on with that. Oh, I was going on with that because of Pluto squaring the nodes. And that's exactly what that is about. So this is okay. This is like, oh my God, this is so good. I'm going to use this all the time now. This has just landed for me. So that sentence, thank you, Jack Nicholson. Thank you, The Departed. That sentence is Pluto square the south node, product of your environment. Pluto square the north node. You are the, your environment is a product of you. Okay. And so this is where we are being edged and urged to go to the north node. This is the crossroads where what we are at. What are you cutting away? What is dying in your life? Or what are you continuing to hold on to? Because you know better the devil you know. It's just easier to stay stuck or stay doing things like that because it's comfortable. Hello, South Node. It's what's comfortable. But we're here to ride the dragon. We're here to take the lessons from the South Node. We're not cutting the dragon's tail off. We're not going, oh, that's the past. I'm just really I'm going to cut that off, because the past actually holds wisdoms, talents, gifts, alchemy. And what we're trying to do is use the positive things that we already have known of the South Node and ride that dragon up to the North Node so that we can move forward and not keep just looking around at our tail, not cutting off the tail. Any planets in Libra that you have, the Libra South Node is swooshing them. Thank you to Michael Lennox for using that analogy. I love that. They are swooshing. You know, they are being swooshed away. They are being karmically reckoned. So, you know, if you've got a lot of planets in Libra, I mean, this is a very big time for you. If you've got a lot of planets in Aries, you know, the North Node is activating. That's the dragon's head. That's where you want to move to. You know, we're talking about Rahu here and Ketu, the dragon's head and the dragon's tail, the South Node and the North Node. So, this is a really potent eclipse cycle of endings, of great release, of great purge, of deep purge of cellular memories, of deep healing. But again, if you're not seeing something clearly, if it's, things are still blurry and foggy, that's the eclipse, you know. The eclipse is, you know, this is around what's hidden and what's obscured. What are you hiding from yourself? And it's interesting because a yod actually holds up mirrors. So it's very interesting what's going to be reflected back to you. So this is time, this is not a time of projection, of looking outward, but actually turning inward. And as the moon waxes from the 15th to the 29th, it will build. Let me tell you, it will build, it will intensify. And again, nothing to be scared of. It's just like, oh, there's a thunderstorm coming. Sweet. Oh, there's hail. Awesome. At least I'm prepared. Oh, the hail wasn't too bad. Excellent. Oh, the hail was fucking intense. Great. At least I stayed home. You know, like, this is about awareness. Awareness to trust the great mystery. This isn't about control. This is about surrender. So I want to love you and leave you there. I hope that that's given you lots of tips. Also, just like a side note, you know, these eclipses of Venus ruled, and Venus is in Virgo. And I just want to say this is a really deeply healing and cathartic transit that we get to go through, because Lilith is also in Virgo. We've just had the third eye chakra Venus gate activated in Virgo on the 11th. So, you know, ultimately, this Virgo energy is here now to soothe us. And so she is actually the keeper of these two eclipses that we're about to have, the one in Libra and the one in Taurus. They're going to feel very different. Libra is celestial air, cardinal, and Taurus is fixed earth, and very physical. Okay, it's of the earth. She is the goddess of the earth. There is the earth magic and the sky magic that we're really, you know, connecting in with the Libra new moon eclipse and the Taurus full moon eclipse. So Venus being in Virgo with both of these eclipses, again, there's something really subtly gentle, and it could just be that you pay attention to your body's messages. It could be, that you just step back from, putting down the plates, like Austin said about this deacon, is that spinning too many plates is, you might not just smash one, you might smash six. Like, this is about, you don't have to keep juggling, you don't have to do that. We're finding the balance here, we're finding equanimity and equilibrium. And can you do that? We don't have to be one or the other. Moving into self-acceptance, acceptance of where you are right now, surrendering, relax, reorient, reorient over this time. Allow the reorientation to come. If you feel the urge to clean and clear and clean up, tidy up, especially from that full moon, which I'll talk about in a couple of weeks. Clean and clear your energy, your debris, Sit under a tree and just be quiet. Like, this is the earth magic is really strong right now. She's calling us. She's calling us to soften, because there's so much heartache, there's so much heartbreak. People are going through so much, not just collectively, but individually. So be gentle with yourself, especially, coming into this very karmic new moon solar eclipse. And I will talk to you all next week. So much love. You've got this.